The opportunity even to minister here. I know it's different times. Doesn't sound right, sure doesn't, when you can't sing. But obviously we're doing it for the right reason, trying to protect ourselves and obviously others. That's important. Appreciate it, Brother Morris is welcome. Thank you. And hi. I have been looking at the judges in our own fellowship and started to look at Ruth. So that will be the context today. We'll be into Ruth there. It's a little book just after Judges and before Samuel, 1 Samuel, and how Ruth is in the same period as the Judges, and how they, if you want to know roughly the dates, 1370 to 1041 BC. So that's roughly the period of time that the Judges and Ruth, to put it into context there. So if you can think, it's over 1,000 years before Christ. And there was the background you'll find there in Judges. And if you look there in Judges 2 and verse 10 to 13, you'll see there, think of it, there Joshua, he led the people into the promised land. And they were to clear the land out of all those that were wicked. And sadly, that didn't happen. They allowed pockets of evil to remain. And that corrupted even the children of Israel. And so they disobeyed God. And at this point, there in Judges 2, Joshua has died. And we read just what's happening here in verse 10 of Judges 2. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. So that's not a very nice picture, is it? Of here's Joshua has just died, and yet we find the children of Israel, their things are not good. And we heard about the barometer there. Well, the barometer spiritually wasn't good in Israel. It was really bad. And sadly, that caused judgment to happen. And that's what the Judges is all about. God raised up, when people cried to him, he raised up judges. And then after the judge would die, then they got back to their old ways again. And maybe that is a picture, indeed, of many people today. And we'll see at the end of Judges there, the very last verse in Judges 21 and verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'm sure you agree with me. That's what's happening today. People are just doing what's right in their own eyes. So nothing has changed 3,000 plus years, how we're all affected by Adam and Eve, and how we're inclined just to do our own thing, go our own way. And we're singing there about, or not singing, but people were singing for us about the shepherd. And obviously all we like sheep have gone astray. We have everyone turned to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. And so, as we think here, we're into Ruth now, and we see here several thoughts I have for Ruth, and Warren Wiersbe's got a very interesting one, and the outline for it, and how it would be remembered, I'm sure. He says chapter 1 is weeping. Chapter 2 is working. Chapter 3 is waiting. And chapter 4 is wedding. So that was a very simple outline, wasn't it? And but maybe I'm getting it more complicated than Warren Weir. But I was just thinking there, chapter 1, with there the long backslider. You know, the long backslider, a long time, for 10 years, we see here. And it was Naomi and her family, her husband and two sons, they head off from Bethlehem. And we read at the very start in Ruth 1 there, and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, that's Naomi's husband, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahalan and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So you see what's happening here. They have traveled about 50 to 60 miles, probably 7 to 10 days' journey. And it's the southeast, really, of the Dead Sea they've came from, or they came to, rather, from Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is a place for house of bread. That's what it means. And yet there was a famine in it. And they go off to a place that was really hostile to Israel. Moab wouldn't let the children of Israel go through their land when they wanted to come to there to the promised land. They refused them. And they got Balaam, really, or wanted Balaam there to curse Israel. And so they are connected there through incest from Lot. And that's really the background to Moab. And yet they moved. You know, sometimes people will move house and they don't think about it. And I have noticed this happening to people over the years. And they like the house, they like the area and all the rest. And then said, oh, I wonder is there any church? You know what I mean? They sort of think they have actually left the most important bit. You know, they haven't thought things through. And so here is a family. Yes, they're preserving themselves, and you don't blame them for that. But they went in the wrong direction. And for 10 years, now they didn't intend to stay 10 years. And I'm sure if any of us here today have got into a backslidden state, maybe somebody has described it like a slow puncture, and you don't realize it until you're down in the rims. And so if you were there in that place, you might say, well, after a few days, I'll get back to my normal with the Lord. And, you know, days turns into weeks and months and even years. And so you'll find here that they just went for a little while in verse 1 to sojourn. A bit like it's sort of an extended holiday, you would say. But that extended holiday lasted, we said, for 10 years. And you'll see that there in verse 2, how they continued there at the end of verse 2. They continued there. And then we see not only the famine there, but there's funeral here as well with Naomi's husband. He dies. And how the... Obviously, they were all affected, that family, Elimelech, Naomi, and her two sons. And you could imagine they weren't getting fellowship. They were cut off, and round about them, they were worshipping other gods. And they were an immoral people as well. So the environment wasn't good for that family. And so we see that he died there Elimelech, and she was left then with her two sons. And in verse 4, then they got two wives. And how Ruth's husband was Mahlon. We know that by Ruth 4 and verse 10. And so they get married to two ladies from Moab. And then we see what happens. It tells us there the 10 years. And in verse 5, the two sons of Naomi, married to these two girls, local girls, they died. So you can see what's happening here. And it's not a very nice picture, a difficult picture. And yet, I believe God used that to really shake their Naomi. She had a long period of backsliding. And now, when this all has happened, she is on the move. And sometimes God has to shake us out of our complacency. And maybe we take over and continue on, whatever. And maybe don't realize we're in that backslidden state. And when a few things then happen to us, where can we go but to the Lord? And the Lord gets our attention like Moses in the burning bush there. And so here is Naomi. And we read there in verse 6, she arose. She arose. And there she's with the two daughter-in-laws, and that she might return. So return to Bethlehem. She has heard that there's food now, there's a harvest, and things are good back in Bethlehem. And, you know, it's lovely when a backslider, a genuine backslider, will have a vacancy, as it were. They will have a desire to return to that joy that they once had. And that's always a good sign that you're a real Christian. And so she desires to go back home and to the house of bread. And so you can see what's happening there. And just for the sake of our time, we'll just see there from verse 16 to 18, they're coming to a climax because, as we said there, they're going to have to do that journey 50 to 60 miles. And these two ladies, daughter-in-laws, what's going to happen? And we'll see about them tonight. But we know that Ruth, she had made up her mind and she was not going to turn back. She had got the understanding about the God of Israel. She was prepared here to leave her false gods, even leave her family, and go back with Naomi. Obviously, her heart was right with God, and she wanted to do God's will, and God had a purpose for her. It didn't appear to be very obvious at this point. And God has a purpose for us, every Christian. We have indeed something to do for God. And I do believe this, that if a Christian's work is finished, then the Lord will take us home. But if we're still here, there's something for you to do. And God will be pleased then if we do it. And so here's the challenge with Ruth in verse 16. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw, that's Naomi, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. So you could see there that this lady, with all her background, how that we can understand the background a wee bit there with Naomi. She was feeling sorry for herself. There's no doubt about that. And she felt that obviously she lost her husband and her two sons. Her whole world had collapsed. It really had. And she felt in verse 13 there, she felt there that it grieveth me much for your sake. She was saying to the daughter-in-laws that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. But it wasn't the Lord was against her. It's obviously they made a decision to leave Bethlehem. To leave Bethlehem, and obviously there was food. The word had, there was food in Moab. And as we said, they stayed longer than they intended. And that's the problem of getting out of the will of God. We can stay longer than we intend. And so here's a lady, and she's just grieving. That's what she expressed herself. And we know that Orpah, she went back, and Ruth went on, as we read there. And when they got into then Bethlehem, we see here the frustrated Naomi. She was really frustrated. And so we see there in verse 19, there that when they came to Bethlehem, it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Is this really Naomi here? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Maybe that's how you feel today. You know, really, things are not going the way you'd like them to go. But we do believe as Christians that God does work, even in difficult situations. He can speak to us. He can shake us up. He can get our attention. And obviously, it's out of love he does it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And so God had indeed an overriding purpose for Naomi and even for Ruth that came back with her. So if God is for you today, who or what can be against you? And so you'll see how she's expressing herself here. And she is frustrated with all that's going on. And we see in verse 21, she says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. So who's getting the blame? It's the Lord. I know we're meant to rejoice in the Lord. And it's very hard when things are going wrong. And it's not easy. I'd say I was out there last night there and giving out some CDs. And the next thing, my car went into limp mode. And I say, oh, no. You know, things happen to us. We're not exempt. It rains on the just and the unjust. And So things were not just always going according to plan, or human plans anyway. And I went out full, she said, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. But it wasn't the Lord. It was themselves. They had made the decision. I wonder, did they pray about it before they left Bethlehem and ask God, I wonder, should we do this or not? And if they'd have looked into their history and the word of God, they would have realized we're going into enemy territory here. These folk are hostile. And yes, there might be food there for the moment, but they're getting away from the things of God. And so here in verse 21, then she says, why call me Naomi? Obviously that means pleasant. And she says, look, don't call me that. Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So she wanted people to call her Mara, bitter. That's not a nice thought, is it? If somebody was saying, oh, you're very pleasant, you know, personality or whatever it is, and then for you to turn around and say, hold on, just call me bitter. Most of us probably wouldn't like to say that to anybody, but you know, that's how she felt. So frustrated. And here she's expressing it. And she's saying there, the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So, yes, we can all go through, as part of the fall, we can all go through trials of life. And the Lord can teach us many things, even patience, when things go wrong. Because sometimes, you know, if things go wrong, it's so easy just to, you know, somebody says if they were working there, maybe in a workshop or whatever, and something going wrong, and they take the hammer and they fire it or whatever. You know what I mean? And it's so easy to do that, react. But you know, I think the Lord is he's asking us all to have patience and to just wait on him. And so Naomi returns, and Ruth, in verse 22, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So here is harvest time. And they're getting, it could take 2 to 3 months of harvest there to get it all in. And it's usually the middle or the end of their June. So it took a long time. It took a long time to get the harvest. There's no big combines and things like that. It was pretty hard work that people, if they wanted to eat, they had to work. And so that was a long backslider, really, Naomi. But you see, the tide's turning now. And you'll see here love blossoming. And I'm sure most people like to read a genuine love story, something that's really genuine. Well, this is genuine. This is a lovely, clean love story. And that God is at work. And he's at work that here's young Ruth, and she's a very obedient daughter-in-law. She's very helpful, and she has all the makings of being a good wife. So that's where you get the practice out. If you're helping other people and helping those in your family circle, then obviously, then if you are going to get married, then that will continue to the other person. And so we find love blossoming here. And Naomi knows that there's a kinsman redeemer there in chapter 2 and verse 1. She knows there's a kinsman's redeemer there called Boaz. And how, obviously, this gives her hope, because he could actually be able to purchase her husband's land and property, and then he could marry Ruth. And so there's so much potential, and there could be a family again in the house of Elimelech. And I'm sure we all agree that if we know people and maybe they have no family for various reasons, and suddenly maybe they have a farm or something anyway, and there's nobody to take it on, and we feel sorry for that situation. But in Israel, they had a way around that. So if somebody had no family, then, and if the husband died, then a near relative then would have that responsibility to bring up children in the name of the dead, Elimelech. So it's amazing how this worked. And God was at work, and there was nothing immoral in it at all. And so here in chapter 2, this is the scene, and love is starting to blossom. It's just like a bud here, and then the flower opens up as you go through the chapter and into the next chapter. And so you'll see there in verse 2, Ruth, she's asking permission. She's not a girl that just goes ahead and does her own thing and doesn't listen to advice. We live in a world today when a lot of people, they just go ahead and do what they want. But it's lovely to ask people's advice, especially the ones that can give it to us. And so she desired to go and glean And she said, in whose sight I shall find grace. She had a burden in her heart, obviously put in by God himself, to get to that field where this man Boaz was. So that was a good start. And so she's willing to go along there, and God guided her to the very field. Now, there would have been no name up and saying, this land now is Boaz's. You're entering Boaz's estate. No. But the Lord allowed her to be there at the right place at the right time. Isn't that amazing? And that's the God we serve today. And so in verse 3, she went and she came, she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, and who was the kindred of Elimelech. That's the scene. And God is in it. God is working it all out in his own way. And how 10 years have passed now, but things are starting to develop. Why? Because Naomi has returned. She has returned back to the will of God. And yet the Lord has overruled this whole situation because she's brought back Ruth with her, who came to faith in the God of Israel. And she's bright and really solid for God. There's no bitterness in her speech, complaining about maybe having to leave her people and maybe to look after Naomi if she needed a wee bit of home help or whatever. There's no complaints with Ruth, but there's plenty with Naomi because she was a backslider. But things will turn round for her as well. There's hope for her, and we see there regarding what's going to happen now. And she is listening to what this man's saying. He's a godly man, Boaz. Because he says in verse 4, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Imagine starting your work like that there, saying that to your workers, the Lord be with you. You know, nowadays people think, oh, well, we'll not mention God at all in case we offend people. But here, God's name was being mentioned. And the servants that were set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabite's damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray, let me glean. So she desired to glean where they were. And she was able to continue there in verse 7. And then verse 8, Boaz, what he said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Abide here. So he's taking an interest in her. I'd say he's a lot older than her. And yet he's taken an interest, genuine interest, regarding this lady. And he said, look, let your eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. And so here's a man, he's out to protect her from the workers even. We read that. Even providing her nourishment as well in verse 9. And then we read in verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Remember, she started off there in verse 2 of chapter 2 that she said, in whose sight I shall find grace. And we have found grace today because we know by grace we have been saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works lest any one of us should boast. And it's lovely to know that God's grace is sufficient for us today. It's sufficient for us, and God can help us in every situation. This was difficult. We couldn't see the end. Sometimes that's the problem. If we knew what the end was like, we'd probably say, well, that's great. But we have to live by faith. And that's so important. And so she found grace in thine eyes, she said, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. And you think of what the Lord has done for us in his sight. We have found grace. And Boaz, in verse 11, he says there, he has heard the background. He said, he answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me
all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thee thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So here's indeed what a blessing this lady is to Naomi, and obviously is going to be to Boaz and to the country of Israel. She's going to be a worker for God, and she was an upright, moral person. She wasn't, we would say in today's world, a flirt. She wasn't going with all the boys in the field. No, she was indeed a lady of integrity, we would say. A lady of integrity. And she appreciated the friendliness there that Boaz showed her. And she said, even there in verse 13, the comfort. You know, other people can be friendly with us, and other people can comfort us. And that's what was happening this lady. And then we realize there in verse 16, she was getting handfuls on purpose. And when we think of it, God has been good to us. And how the Bible says, when we have our food and clothing, we should be content. And so handfuls here on purpose, we said there in verse 16. And then we see there in verse 18 there, we see, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. So she brought roughly about 30 to 40 pounds of barley home. So that was a lot. And she was getting all these extra things, handfuls on purpose. And it's wonderful too how other people can help us in life. God can put it into their heart. And they can see a need. Maybe we're not prepared to ask them to help, but God can send somebody along at the right time. I'm sure we all experience that. And they've just been there for us when we need it. And so there is, I believe, a challenge. And then you'll see also the obviously this long backsliding of Naomi, and there's hope now for her. And we see love blossoming here. And you'll see it here, there in Ruth, really, chapter 3, regarding, this is all to do with a proposal for marriage. Boaz was, he wasn't the number one on the list. He was the second, really, to, because the first one was closer than him in the family, and how he was prepared to wait. We know what happened then. Ruth, obviously, her heart was set. You could see the love was blossoming, and Boaz was interested in her as well. Here is a lady that would make a good wife, and she would be dependable, she would be hardworking, and she has faith. I mean, those are powerful things to have. If someone's looking for a wife or a husband. And so here is a lady, and she, we'll see what's happening in chapter 3 here, especially verse 1 to 6. We said there's other redeemers, and then just one other. And this is what Naomi says in verse 1. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And so now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So this would be a common practice. People would be there in the threshing floor, stay there all night, because to protect their hard efforts of bringing in the harvest.
and that's why they would be there. So she was going to get all ready and prepared to go down there. And she was going to propose to him. This was Naomi's plan, no doubt. And she was obedient to her instruction. And so she was prepared to go down there. And then she said, look, he'll tell you what to do. And she said, all that thou sayest in verse 5 unto me, I will do. Isn't it lovely to have people so cooperative? Instead of maybe you'll hear a lot of fighting going on among relatives and different things and neighbours, whatever. But here's a lady, and she's so cooperative. She's willing to do what Naomi tells her to do. And so she had a great spirit within her, and obviously it was God. It was working in her life. And she went down, in verse 6, onto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law then had bade her, had told her. And we know that when he went to sleep, she went to his feet. And how this was one way of proposing marriage. She was asking him, basically, to marry her. And that was lovely. And so at midnight, then in verse 8, the man was afraid. And obviously, he was a man of integrity as well, a wealthy man. And he was afraid because, oof, who's this that's at my feet? And he's, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth. Could you imagine him? His heart would miss a beat, sort of thing. It's Ruth. And so then here we say, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. I'm proposing, I'm prepared to marry. You are near kinsman. You could buy the property and you could marry me. Basically, that's what she's saying. And he said to her, blessed be thou of the Lord. Do you see that? He brings the Lord into it. Sometimes we hear today, people say, leave the Lord out of it. Just get on with it. You know, but the Lord's in everything. He's in this marriage. He was with, indeed, Naomi. Even she felt he was against her. And God even used that situation to bring Ruth out of Moab. And here now, the blessing. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. So here, as we said earlier, she was no flirt. She had integrity. She wasn't going around all the boys in the field and hoping that somehow one of them would take her. No, she was waiting on God's time here. And he said, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. He was going to marry her if he was able to redeem the property, if the other man wouldn't do it. And that was what he was saying there. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Isn't that a lovely statement there? A virtuous woman. And you'll find that in Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For a price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so you see how they obviously, the love is blossoming in here. And now the challenge is here that the other redeemer, is he going to do it? And we know he wasn't prepared. And so therefore Boaz, he's now going to be the husband. And there were 10 witnesses and leaders there in Bethlehem. And they could witness that Boaz then was the rightful man. The only one left that would actually buy the property and marry Ruth. And so we can see there God's hand. And then you can see also not only the long backsliding, the love blossoming, and the land then that was bought, but you can see here there the line of the birth of the Lord Jesus. I just want to finish by reading there from verse 11 to 17 of chapter 4. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let the house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. And we know that the Lord Jesus came through that line. Isn't that amazing? So there's Jew and Gentile. The Lord Jesus, he died for this whole world. No matter what background people are, rich or poor, I say Jew or Gentile, and he is the Redeemer. I know Boaz is a picture here of redemption and the way he provided for her, he protected her, and how then she was his bride. And, you know, we are the bride of Christ today when we have trusted him as our Saviour. And I trust that the Lord will bless, even as we have thought about this book of Ruth, and encourage you, especially if you are backslidden, that you'll want to get back and then to see the blessing of the Lord. He'll work out things that maybe you couldn't even imagine. And so it's a lovely ending. We all like something ending nice, don't we? And we'll just bow, please, in prayer. Loving Father, we give thanks here for the opportunity to be able to share your word. And we're thankful that we're dealing with the truth here. And we're thankful that Ruth was changed and trusted in the God of Israel, came under his wings. And we're thankful that we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We're thankful Naomi was changed, even as she felt that God was against her. But we know, Lord, that wasn't true. But we're thankful when she came back, things started to work out. And may indeed, Lord, any of us who've grown cold, we get back to our first love, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength. So just bless the people here, Lord. We do pray, and those that are listening as well at home, we do pray that your word, Lord, you have promised that not return void or empty, but it'll accomplish. And may each one know your blessing. We do pray. We do ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.